Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, Eden.
Hi, Ione.
And hello to the listeners. Welcome to the Polyester Podcast. I'm Ione, and I'm the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester Zine and the author of Poor Little Sick Girls. And my cat is also sitting here, who you can't see, but he's staring right in my face.
He's really staring deep into your soul.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, tell me more about the pod. sorry, and I'm distracted now. I'm Eden, and I'm the managing editor of Polyester and the co-host of this podcast.
This is the Sleepover Club, a feminist pop culture podcast. We pull apart the hashtag discourse in the hope of making some sense of it all.
Before we get started, please like, rate, review and subscribe. Do we have any reviews?
We do, and it's a long one today. So, 5 stars fangirl. Love this podcast. I work from home 3 days a week and I've been stuck in a mindless true crime rut. Listening to podcasts about murderers and scam artists, the constant barrage of violence and scandal becoming a strange dulcet lullaby, which I'm barely even paying attention to. It's my weird white noise. I loved listening to the episode The Death of Nuance and feel this podcast has given me inspiration to change my listening habits for the better and seek out some more stimulating conversation, which is thought-provoking without being stuffy or pretentious. This particular episode got me thinking about which media I'm consuming at a surface level and which media is causing me to think more critically, and the difference between the two. Which films are constructed from click data and feeding my just let people enjoy things mentality, and which films break that mould and cut through the white noise we are so accustomed to. And also those confusing middle brow productions, which have been giving me a sense of confused unease, but now I realise this uncanny valley of an algorithm impersonating high art. Thanks, guys. Love to listen. That's from Listener 11 in Great Britain. Thank you.
Oh, thank
you. That's so nice. I feel like that's also quite relevant to what we're talking about.
It's very relevant to what we're talking
today,
about today.
Yeah. Which is Britney. Free Britney. Post-Free Britney. What's happened since? We never did a Free Britney episode, but, you know, the cycle hasn't stopped, unfortunately. So we are talking about it today and the latest. Like, kind of just how people are reacting and, like, how the kind of cult of her fandom has changed and, like, converged since, obviously, campaigning for her freedom from the conservatorship, which mm-hmm. was obviously a really good thing.
Yeah.
Woo! Okay, where are we starting, Eden?
I guess, I mean, the most recent thing that's happened with this is Britney was in the news over the weekend, supposedly having a meltdown in a restaurant, mm-hmm. which then just begs the question, like, have we not learned anything?
Right. So it was like her being filmed on a phone camera by someone who was in the restaurant, and she's kind of holding the menu above her face and talking to the waiter, probably telling the waiter to get the person to stop filming. And she looks like not done up because she's just having dinner. Like, celebrities don't just walk out the house completely done up. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, TMZ posted it saying she was having a meltdown. But I feel like that TMZ article is kind of like in a culmination of things. So a month ago or whatever, Perez Hilton posted a video saying that like something really dark was going on with Britney and that like it was worse than we could ever expect. But like obviously it was being really clickbaity and like not giving details or anything. I mean, fuck knows if he actually knew anything. And then Dumois posted like similar kind of cryptic things being like, oh yeah, it is bad, but it's not what any of the TikTok conspirators think.
I mean, bear in mind, Perez Hilton is the man who's fucking made a name off the back of, like, women's fucking trauma. Fuck that guy. He probably doesn't know anything. Like, why is he acting like he's, like, part of the inner sanctum of Britney?
In it, he's just trying to, like, retain relevance still. And
yeah.
Also, okay, this kind of ties into my point. So when me and Eden were talking about doing this episode, what we want to talk about mainly is about how like TikTok is kind of empowering the every man, the every woman, the every them to become kind of like tools of surveillance, and to put these theories about Britney and women in the media under more of a microscope that kind of brings us back to the culture of the early noughties, like the culture in which we saw Britney have that first breakdown where she shaved her head, the culture that saw, you know, Lindsay Lohan being ripped down, that saw Amy Winehouse being ripped down, all of these people. And then when that happened, Perez Hilton obviously was condemned for like years, a decade, whatever. He went on Big Brother here in the UK and like absolutely got ripped because he was an awful person. Oh my God, then he went away again. But now suddenly, like, people are just accepting him back into the fold. And I think it's because so many people are replicating his behavior on TikTok now.
Yeah. It's very true. Yeah, everyone's got their own angle on what celebrities are up to. But I guess, well, when Perez was first big, he was a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
And now everyone's... now everyone's like a small fish in a big pond, but everyone can have something to say if they want to.
And he's the blueprint in a way. Like, even I feel like my point here is that even people that would denounce Perez Hilton as being like scummy or like, yeah, awful or exploitative or like blah, 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 a lot of those big accounts participate in this behavior that is just as bad. So like my TikTok for You page, I don't know about you, Eden, or the listeners, even though I do not engage with this content, is consistently filled with stuff about Britney. From, like, a lot of the time, the same few accounts, like, I get Kardashian ones and I get Britney ones. And it's, like, the green screen, someone talking to the camera, and then it's being, like, look, here's the, like, fuzzy line between her hair and the background on the blinds. So, therefore, she's obviously been green screened into this video, and it's not actually her. Britney has a body double, is what some people are saying. Some people are saying that, like, Paris Hilton and Selena Gomez and all of the people that were at her wedding are in on it. And there was a whole body double for her wedding, that Sam, her husband, has her under a conservatorship again, or like some people are even saying she's dead.
Didn't someone say the one in the background of the video, she was cardboard cut out?
Yeah.
Like, do you think people would go to the effort of that? They just wouldn't post.
Exactly. And like people are saying, oh, she's obviously like not in a private jet here, or like not wherever, or not wherever, or wherever, or wherever. And it feels like they feel like they're doing some sort of righteous job to try and like free Britney. But really, it's like just sharpening the surveillance that is on Britney's life anyway, when, you know, she probably, well, she undoubtedly is in recovery from like being in a conservatorship for so long, having no freedom. Do you want to talk through your research about how her family actually surveilled her during that time?
Yeah, this, I couldn't believe all this. I mean, I guess I can't believe it, like knowing what we know now, but all the stuff that they did to her. So there's something in the New York Times about the surveillance apparatus that surrounded Britney Spears. So her dad hired a security firm called Black Box, who then they did something where they did something on that, on like an, on the iCloud. So basically, they had another phone that was basically her phone. So they read every single message, every single email, recorded every single conversation that she had for like, I think it was 9 years they did that for. But the guy that was doing it basically said that it was so her dad could control every aspect of her life, but said it really reminded me of someone that was in prison. And the security was put in a position to be prison guards for Britney, essentially. Mm-hmm. In 2020, they prepared a threat assessment report, which included background information on big Britney fans in the Free Britney movement. So they were basically watching them because they thought all these people were high risk, and they were extremely nervous because they had no control over the Free Britney movement and what was going to come out of it. So they were also tracking people in the Free Britney, the, like the big people in that, like tracking their emails and like surveilling Britney fans and stuff, and the person that ran the Free Britney Twitter account, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking secret spy military operation.
And it must have cost so much aside from anything else as well.
And it's paid for with her money.
Yeah. And like, aside from all of that, now she's out of that, it's like, okay, she's out of that, but now she has the entirety of TikTok, like analysing every single Instagram caption. Yeah. Like, I remember reading a caption, like watching a TikTok where she put up a caption about her wedding and people were literally pulling it apart, like, this means she wasn't there, this means she was trapped in the back all day, this means this, this means that. And I think it's really interesting, this kind of culture that has sprung up on TikTok of kind of pulling apart conspiracy theories and talking about celebrities in this way, because obviously we touched on it on Instagram, but not in last week's podcast episode about Miley Cyrus's new single. And it's like, she's wearing the suit that Liam Hemsworth wore when he told her to shut up on a red carpet.
Yeah.
She's in the house where he cheated on her 14 times. None of it's verified.
It's just a suit. It's just a house.
Literally. And it's like, okay, maybe that is symbolism, whatever, but it's like, it's not, I don't know. And then I feel like where these accounts are getting mixed up, or the way that people like indulge in them without so much guilt, is A, because they're normal people. So Britney has responded to the TMZ video with a Instagram post basically like saying, fuck you for talking about me like that, in so many words. You can see it if you want. And then there's like rumors circulating on Twitter that I'm not sure how true they are, that TMZ has been reported to the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, for distorting news about Britney Spears, which TMZ also did about Amber Heard, by the way, just as a sidebar. But individual TikTokers are not held under the same scrutiny as this. So like, if you're a person or like a normal person, a non-celebrity on TikTok, you can literally say whatever you want. Like, they're even less regulated than Paris Hilton, because Paris Hilton has a website and is like, I mean, as you know, as low as he is kind of an established member of the press in some sort of way. Now, I don't know loads about American law in terms of press and what you can say and what you can't say, but it does feel like TikTok has just completely fly under the radar of it.
Because there's no control.
Yeah.
Or there's no, like, fact-checking. I guess there's a little bit of fact-checking, but I feel like on Instagram, stuff comes up saying this information in this post might be false, but it doesn't do that on TikTok, I don't think. And I think just the sheer volume of videos that are on that site, just, like, imagine if you're Britney and you went on that, you'd be so overwhelmed. After a lifetime of being surveilled and picked apart, you then go onto this thing and then everyone's also doing the same thing to you.
And exactly, and I think it just contributes to a culture of how we view people, not just celebrities, but like women and marginalized people, where it's like we feel as though their lives are fair game for us to pick apart.
A commodity.
Yeah, a complete commodity.
Yeah, it's so depressing. Leave Britney alone.
Exactly. And also, just if you're the type of person that thinks that, like, denounces Y2K, Heat magazine, Daily Mail journalism, then you shouldn't be engaging with this type of TikTok, because it is bad. And I feel like that's another way that this stuff flies under the radar, right? So there are actual decent accounts that, like, analyze celebrity culture through the lens of theory, or through the lens of, like, culture past, or like links things to then and now. Like, obviously Kardashian Colloquium is a really good example of that, and there's loads and loads of others which actually do teach us about pop culture history, about academic pop culture, all of this stuff. But because that exists as the good thing on TikTok, people can watch these videos and think it's the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they think that they can treat it all one and the same.
Yeah, and because it's like speculation,
yeah,
and like it's digging deeper, it kind of isn't seen as like scummy tabloid journalism, which is what it is really.
Well, it's like opinion versus research or versus theory.
Yeah,
that's the big difference, but it kind of all blends into one.
I don't even think it's opinion. I think it's like, what's the word? Like, for shock factor. It's, yeah, it's like engagement baiting, which we've talked about before, but it's like, it's not as if these people, I don't know. I mean, I feel like you'd have to be, how many people do you think actually believe that, like, Britney is a clone or whatever? Maybe more than we think, but
maybe. let's do a poll.
But it just feels like they're saying the most outlandish things to have a voice in the situation, rather than because it's warranted or needed.
Yeah, like, Britney's not a cardboard cutout. But and then I do think that she doesn't help herself, because other videos that she does post are genuinely like, what the hell is going on here? Not that she doesn't help herself, but I think that's just a case of, like, her, like, maybe not just, like, posting whatever she wants, like, all the naked pictures and stuff. And then that makes people want to read into it more, because it's so unhinged.
But it's like, it's kind of just like this grotesque fascination with it, because I feel like if people sat with that, right, okay, so I'm sure we all have friends, yeah, that like continuously shitpost and are like posting every single thing of their lives. Like, they post themselves crying, they post themselves screaming, they post themselves on the toilet, they post their breakdowns. It kind of ties into what we were talking about last week about that girl like screaming on TikTok about finding her boyfriend's porn folder. Like, we all have friends that like really overshare online, but when there are friends or people that we know or like people that aren't famous, we can just go, well, they're obviously having a bad time. Mm. They're obviously having a bad time. It's probably not the most like well thought out behavior. It's definitely not socially acceptable, but should they really be like ostracized for it? Whereas with Britney, we can go blah 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 blah. She needs to be committed again, and like all this kind of stuff. It's the same with like loads of other public figures where we-
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I don't really know how to talk about like severe mental health that goes beyond depression and anxiety, because yeah. She does have bipolar, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she's definitely, I mean, you would be so traumatized after everything that she's been through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess because you don't know her personally, you don't know her day to day, you just see this one naked picture and you're like, oh my God, she's lost the plot.
I also just think, yeah, it's so weird how quickly the tide has turned on that, because when she was first posting like naked pictures, everyone was like, yeah, slay queen. And now everyone's like, oh, she's a deeply troubled woman. And yeah. It's like, it's really embarrassing for our generation how quickly we can fall back into that mindset of like our parents or our parents' parents, where we see one thing and are like, or a few things that don't like gel with how we expect people to behave online or off, and we're like, no, they're wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. She's not right. I just think, like, Britney, she can't even go for a meal without being completely picked apart for days. Mm-hmm. Like, Free Britney was supposed to allow her to be free, not to give the public, like, free access to her life and treat and, like, think that we deserve unrestricted access to her.
I think what's also so dark about this situation and loads of others, right, is because obviously when this came around the first time with like Amy and Britney and the first time and Lindsay Lohan and whoever, we didn't have the like cultural language to talk about mental health or to talk about like any of those things.
No.
But now we do. So these TikToks are also cloaked in faux concern. So they're like, is Britney blah 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 blah, is she off lithium, we're praying for her, we're hoping the best for her, but it's still the exact same like really deeply exploitative messaging, but just like wrapped in pretty mental health bubble wrap.
Yeah, hashtag be kind.
Yeah,
because you, like you said, we didn't, obviously people fucking knew about mental health and stuff the first time with Amy Winehouse, but people weren't really having these conversations as openly. Mm-hmm. Or it didn't really, I guess the online sphere that we have now didn't really exist back then either.
Yeah.
But yeah, people weren't really chatting about this kind of stuff.
I thought the article you put in, what was it? The article about like celebrity culture being, how mundane gossip took over the internet was really interesting. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, so that was how mundane gossip took over the internet. The thing that made me laugh loads was that, so online gossip coincides with the frighteningly deranged trend of spying and snooping on others. So annoyed at online strangers commenting on his muffin consumption, comedian Stuart Lee once described Twitter as a state surveillance agency staffed by gullible volunteers. I just love the thought of like him maybe eating like two muffins and someone doing a tweet, just saw Stuart Lee eating two muffins, lol, and he's just seen that and flipped. But it's true, it's like states, like I think you could be like, oh my God, just saw this person in the street, just walked past this person in the street. And everyone's at it. So that he said that like 9 years ago. And now obviously we've got all these gossip sites that actively encourage users to do that and send stuff in, and the more banal the better. But I think that there was a really good point in it that all the best mate friendliness and the increase of like relatable influencer culture, which didn't exist 9 years ago, really, hasn't really done anything to dismantle the structures of fame. It just means that celebrities have become a lot less interesting because they're trying to be, they probably cover stuff up better now and they're trying to be everyone's best mate. So people are responding in the same way that the tabloids did before with like deranged intrusive gossip, because people maybe want to make stuff up, like with the Miley thing, they want to make something out of nothing because Miley isn't twerking on stage and doing crazy things anymore, so they're like, well, how can we continue the conversation, let's just make shit up,
how can we make a story here.
Yeah.
I think what's so interesting is we are kind of beginning to see a like split in celebrities that understand this and build it into their like quote unquote marketing, and celebrities that don't. But like, for example, I don't really think at this point Britney is trying to market herself any such which way, because she's not working really, is she? Probably trying to like recover from like the majority of her life being under this conservatorship. But alongside that, which is where it gets confusing, is like we do have other celebrities like the Kardashians or like whoever that do try and execute viral moments, if that makes sense.
Yeah, they really do.
And like controversy, like with Kim, it's just been like reported that Kim Kardashian has bought Princess Diana's, one of her necklaces.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But then that gets even more complicated when now all the kids have TikTok, and it's like, how much are they orchestrating the kids or not? Which is probably none, but they also probably just seize the moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I why are the kids on TikTok?
Because they're kids.
It's weird. But like, they're not just kids. They're not just normal kids.
Yeah, but like, if you know, Peter Andre and Katie Price's kids were on Instagram when they were like 12. Do you remember all those pictures of Princess Tiami or whatever she's called?
Yeah, I love Princess.
Wearing like a full face.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're not treating them like kids.
What do you mean?
Like, you're using them as like a cog in your machine. Content machine. Of course they fucking are. Yeah, like, I know that you should just let kids be kids, and if they want to post on TikTok, you should let them post on TikTok, because all their friends are posting on TikTok. But they're not just kids at the end of the day. The fucking microscope is on those... Microscope?
Yeah.
Is on those kids.
Well, that's the thing. It could also go, like...
Magnifying glass, not microscope.
I mean, it's both. Both do the same thing.
Okay.
Like, I feel, not to, like, wish... I don't wish poorly on any of the Kardashian children, but there is still, obviously, huge question marks over how children that grow up under fame like develop and then handle that, and I hope they all grow up to be well-rounded human beings. But like, Britney was a child star, Amanda Bynes was a child star, like all of these people are child stars, and you know, it didn't treat them kindly. And if we're entering another era of this kind of no restrictions reporting, and it's not even reporting, because like, I don't want to call TikTok posters reporters on this, then are the kids going to be okay? Because I know if I was like North and then I did a TikTok dressing up as my dad, regardless of whether my mum asked me to or not, and then I got told at school or whatever about all the people, literally like millions of people talking about it and ripping into it, I'd probably have a mental breakdown on the spot.
Let's just be honest now, they're all going to be fucked in the head. I don't think there's any denying that, like, because they don't have any perception of the real world.
Because
they live in a fucking house where all the staff have separate corridors that they all go down. They don't have to associate with anyone that's not from their world. This is a different conversation, though.
No, but I think it does tie in, because I feel as though a lot of these, like, a lot of people think celebrities are free reign because they are immensely privileged in terms of money, status, wealth, and fame. But I don't agree with like a cultural shift that just lets them, like, lets us open fire on them. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't agree either. I think that it's cruel, and it's just like sheer luck. Like, it's not Britney's fault that she's been famous since she was like a child,
mm-hmm.
but her perception of reality is going to be so much different than ours. And I don't really know what my point is, but I do agree that it shouldn't be free reign to just open fire on them.
Another point to this is that, like, for example, a lot with the Nepo baby era that we are in, and like a lot of the rising stars being people's children, like Maya Hawke, like whoever, these people are a lot more put together than, for example, like Britney, Amy Winehouse, people that didn't come out of famous families that were like, mm-hmm. became famous, maybe were supporting their family, blah, 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 blah. And therefore, like, there's none of the infrastructure to deal with it, because I'm sure, for example, the Kardashians have like excellent infrastructure to cope with the levels of fame that mm-hmm. they have reached. Like, they have gated communities. They probably have like so many therapists, like North, and all the kids are probably in therapy already. Like,
yeah,
I know Kim has spoken before about how like the school does have a blanket ban on talking about Kanye, and that's something that like Kim can control because she's lived and grown up under fame, essentially.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of these like younger stars that are now in their like late 30s, 40s, that have been grappling with issues for like the whole of their adult life because of fame, didn't have that infrastructure.
Yeah. They've just kind of come from nothing. The rags to riches story.
Yeah. But we need to break it. And it's so, like, we thought it was broken when we were like 18, after Amy Winehouse died, we thought that was like it. And now it's so like us creeping back in.
Yeah. And now they're fucking making a horrific biopic about Amy Winehouse.
I know.
Let her rest.
I know.
Horrendous. And it's fucking directed by Sam
Taylor Johnson.
Taylor Johnson. Boo.
Boo.
Leave Amy alone. Leave Britney alone. And leave Aaron Johnson alone.
It's true.
Mm. Anyway, yeah. I can't what I was gonna say.
Go on, Rand. Well, do you want to end with talking about the panopticon that you brought up?
Oh yeah, I love the panopticon. This is just like a little bit of like background theory, which I think is very relevant to this conversation, especially the bit where the guy that worked for the Britney security surveillance team said that it reminded me of someone that was in prison, and the security was put in a position to be the prison guards, essentially. So the panopticon is a theory. It's not a theory. It's like, it was an actual building as well. They built them, which is a type of institutional building and a system of control designed by philosopher and social theorist Jeremy Bentham in the 18th century. So the concept of the design is that it's a prison with a prison guard tower in the middle, which allows all prisoners to be observed by one security guard. But the inmates can't tell they're being watched by this one security guard, but they could be being watched. So they are motivated to act as though they have been watched at all times. So then the inmates are compelled to regulate their own behaviour. So I think it's really interesting, especially in social media surveillance, that you could be being watched at any given moment. You could be, like, Britney just went for some food and she was being filmed, and that made her uncomfortable, and she tried to stop it, and then that was all posted online, and it's turned into this massive spectacle. Like, the point is that I think that social media is the new panopticon, because anything could be, you're being observed at any given moment, and anything that you do could be put online and exploited or used against you.
Mm-hmm. No, I actually feel like it's more similar to the Stanford Prison Experiment. Mm. Do you know that one?
Mm-hmm.
So classic. The Stanford Prison Experiment, if people don't know, was like where they got normal, like, I don't know how many people it was, but they got a group of normal people randomly assigned guards or prisoners, and then the guards had to punish, surveil, blah, 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 the prisoners. And it was to see whether, what was even the point of it? I can't even remember.
I think they're all students, weren't they? So they were all the same age or similar age. And there was like 10 guards, 10 prisoners. It was just to see how people act when someone's put in a position of power and someone isn't put in a position of power, when they were kind of on a level playing field before.
Yeah, and now it's like people on the internet are the guards, like, that are traumatizing these celebrities. So basically what I'm saying is, because the guards don't see themselves as being people that were in a position of power, because they perceive celebrities to have more power over them.
Exactly. but you're the one that's wielding power over them.
Exactly. And within 3 days of the Stanford Prison Experiment, they had to shut it down because it went absolutely bloody bananas.
It went off the Richter scale, didn't it?
Yeah, and three of the people were completely traumatized. Like,
must have been, imagine like going into like your like seminar like a week later being like, sorry about last week, guys. I just went a bit fucking crazy.
I want to beat you guys sitting next to me because you were a prisoner and I was a god. But yeah, I feel like we all assume positions of gods in this situation where we feel like we can exert power over these celebrities because traditionally they have a lot more power than us. But we're going to find ourselves in a very, very dark situation again very, very quickly.
Yeah. We're like, oh my God, look, Britney's over there. Let's torture her, yeah. Basically.
Literally.
That sounds a bit dramatic, but I think that it's true. Like, just fucking leave people alone.
Yeah.
You don't need to get your picture with them. It's kind of embarrassing as well to ask famous people for pictures. Sorry, Nara said it. like, just be cool. Like, if you see someone, just let them exist. Don't immediately fucking run to Dewan and be like, oh my God, I saw Nigella Lawson buying tampons. Nobody cares.
I actually do love a good celeb spot, but I will never, not reading it. Like, I love seeing it in the wild. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh my God, my friend saw Paul Breach in the street the other day. Yeah, you know, Paul Breach. Mm-hmm.
And with that,
that's a good celeb spot.
Thank you, Eden.
Thanks, Ione.
Thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to Olivia for editing, to Gina, Charlotte, Grace, Hattie, and Misha. We will speak to you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.